Welcome to the Brooks Rehabilitation Podcast. My name is Michelle Arallo.
And my name is Tracy Davis. This week we had on Megan and Jessica to talk about our Brooks Cybernetic Treatment Center and using the HAL assistive technology. So I'm just going to kind of use our website here to explain exactly what all this is. Maybe you've heard of CyberDyne and the Brooks Cybernetic Treatment Center, but hopefully this kind of helps out because we get into a little bit of detail in the podcast about it, but this little intro should help you out. HAL is the world's first robotic medical device that has been shown to improve a patient's ability to walk. The Brooks Cybernetic Treatment Center, so the Brooks Cybernetic Treatment Center is our facility located within our hospital in Jacksonville, Florida, is the only U.S.-based facility offering HAL technology to those with a spinal cord injury.
If you'd like to send us an email, you can email us at podcast@brooksrehab.org.
And if you would like to connect with us on social media, it's at brooksrehab.org on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, pretty much any social media platform. We would love to connect with you and have you get to know more about us. We had a great conversation with Jessica and Megan, and they are the two lead therapists in the Brooks Cybernetic Treatment Center, and they're going to go into a little bit of the history and a little bit of where the Cybernetic Treatment Center is headed. So let's get right into it.
My name is Megan Kettles, and I'm a physical therapist at Brooks. I work part-time with the CyberDyne robot in the NRC, and then my other role is running the hybrid program for the hospital.
Okay.
So,
what does that involve, the hybrid program?
That is a program we have for patients while they're here in the hospital for them to be able to utilize some of our rehab technology and be able to get a little bit of extra therapy while they're here. And it introduces them to the NRC and kind of just gets them a little bit more motivated and going. So, but it's really specifically looking at our rehab technology and utilizing that so that patients can get the most out of every day they're here.
Okay. So. That's great. I didn't realize we had that program.
Oh, yes. Marketing wants to promote that a little bit more.
Good. We should.
My name's Jessica Dunn. I'm also a physical therapist working with CyberDyne, and I also work at our San Pablo location as an outpatient neurophysical therapist there.
Oh, I didn't realize you were over there.
Yeah, they're great over there.
That's a beautiful clinic now, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was before, too, but it just looks really good now. It's very big.
How long have you guys been with Brooks? I've been with Brooks for just over 7 years.
And I'm about 6.5 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's talk a little bit beforehand. So what made, just kind of shortly, what made you guys both want to become a PT?
Mine actually was a suggestion from my mother. I was an athletic trainer in high school and really liked that. And I had finished undergrad and moved to New York and didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I was going back to school. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what about PT? You always liked your PTs growing up, because I got hurt a lot. It's like, oh, why didn't I think of that? So that's kind of where it started.
Okay.
So something I wanted to do something that helped people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was interesting to me. And I did always like my PTs growing up. So
sure. It's a very rewarding career.
I never had PT growing up, but I knew I wanted to be in healthcare, and I knew I couldn't do needles at all. Mm-hmm. So I looked into physical therapy, and I also wanted to help people, and it looked like something that I would enjoy doing. So I did some observation and decided that was the road I would take.
Oh, wow.
I'm happy I did.
Yeah. Well, that's good. it would be a whole different podcast if you said you weren't happy that you did. So, before CyberDyne, what were you guys doing at Brooks? Because CyberDyne's only been here since March 2018.
So I started out, I've kind of hopped around the system a little bit since I started. I started in Orange Park doing neuro outpatient therapy there. And then I did our neuro residency program back in 2014. And then I stayed in the hospital for a little bit. And then I went back out to outpatient over at San Pablo. And so I've been over there for probably 3 years now over at San Pablo, and then started with CyberDyne a couple years ago.
Starting out at Brooks, I was PRN, but then was basically full-time PRN. So progressing from there, working in kind of different programs. So I really liked floating and being on the different floors. So eventually a full-time float position opened up, and so I took that and was a full-time float for a couple of years, and then took over the hybrid program about little, just under 3 years ago. So I was doing that as a part of my role, and that's grown a lot. So we've been able to kind of make it where I'm basically a split between Cyberdyne and that. So, and I really like neuro. That's always been in my focus. I worked in research studies before and during PT school that got me into that. And that's also kind of how I really thought Cyberdyne would be interesting, having worked in a bunch of locomotor training studies before. And it was definitely the newest technology, so why not give it a shot?
How were you involved in Cyberdyne? Like, how did you start?
I wanted to work with robots.
Because I know you guys have a small team.
It's all Terminator, like, and you're like, I want to do that.
I'm not scared. I just saw the opportunity come up, and I thought it was really cool technology and wanted to be a part of it.
So I hopped on board. Because I feel like I kind of remember something going out about them selecting certain PTs to join the program, and you had to apply or something like that, right? So, but how much of it was in your radar as to even what it is, even before you joined?
Well, we initially actually, before this time, we had started looking at Cyberdyne and were planning on going over there and over to Germany the first time, and there was a first round of application process that's, what, about probably almost four years ago now. And I had applied for that and been selected in that first round, and then everything all of a sudden got put on hold, like the night before we were booking our plane tickets because of FDA clearance. So then there was like a 2-year gap.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And so since it had been such a long time, between they wanted to open up the applications back up to, it had to be full-time employees, I think was one of the main stipulations. So to give any new employees or anything, you know, a shot at it as well. So I applied again, and Bob was like, if we didn't pick you, I'd never hear the end of it. So, because I would bug him about it regularly. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I got started. So it's been on my radar for about 4 years.
Right.
So in some way, shape, or form.
And just to, so people know, Cyberdyne, they're based in Japan, and then they have another facility in Germany. Or is it their facility, or is it some other one?
It's another facility. Okay. It's Cyberdyne is based out of Japan. This the facility in Germany we were initially going to train at in that first round, but Cyberdyne decided in the interim that what they saw was that they think that they thought it would be better for us to come directly to them to be able to be exposed, because they have a number of clinics in Japan. Okay. So, and being able to be at headquarters, especially because we were going to be partnering with them. So having us come over there to really be immersed, probably is the best word.
Oh, we were immersed.
Yes, we were.
Yeah. So you guys went to Japan. Have you ever been to Japan?
I have not been to Japan before that. And it was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great experience.
And the goal of the trip was what exactly?
The goal was to train to learn how to use the device so that when we brought it back here, we would know how to utilize it with our patients.
Okay.
So we went over there. We were in Japan for about 10 days, and we worked very closely with the therapist and the managers there at their facility in Japan. That's right by their headquarters. So we spent some time at their headquarters going through some kind of behind-the-scenes information and safety, and we got to meet with like the R&D team, which was really cool. Mm. We got to ask them a lot of questions about, you know, why they chose the way that they developed the device. So we got to meet with some of the other staff and their team. And then we worked directly with the patients at their studio. And so we did a couple days just training with, you know, just putting the robot on each other. And then we probably spent maybe 5 other days in the clinic working with their patients there. And then we came back home, and we got to use it here with our patients.
Started pretty immediately whenever you got back?
No, there was, we were there for, like Jess said, we had a day and a half off while we were there of training, so, or meetings. And then we got back, and then the robot didn't get FDA clearance until We went to train at the very beginning of October. Mm-hmm. FDA clearance came in December of 2017, towards the end of December of 2017. So then we didn't get our first patients going until late February mm-hmm. of 2018. So we had a few months of lag time. Mm-hmm. So it was getting back into the groove and reminding ourselves and actually using it on some very different patients. So, because as I think Jess would agree, we've discovered as much as we know about the robot, everyone's different.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. And I remember the FDA clearance was a big milestone because we couldn't progress until we had that in America. So, and then, so other countries are using, have been using Cyberdyne in different capacities than we were already, but that was the American clearance for us, right? So for us to be able to start using it. Okay. Right.
Yeah. They have I think at the time, I don't know if they had opened their clinic in Poland yet, but I still think it was Germany and Japan only, at that point. And I think they've got now one in Poland, Italy,
Malaysia. I just found out that they got FDA clearance in 2 weeks in Malaysia.
Wow.
Very different than the US.
It was fast. Yeah.
So that's new.
Took a number of years over here.
Sure.
So.
So it's you guys got back and then you started. What was it like starting off? It was March of 2018. You know, we had the whole build out over there. The NRC got completely rebuilt and changed to the Cybernetic Treatment Center. And then you started. So what was it like first day, kind of getting going with the first patients?
Intimidating. I think being the only people in the U.S. who had it, mm-hmm. still only people who have it, mm-hmm. You know, all that's been invested in time and effort to move forward with it, and then jumping in and being like, okay, this is it. You know, I think we both had really high expectations and what we wanted to do and to make it successful and to benefit our patients as much as we could. So it was a lot of fun, but it was definitely the first couple of patients. There's a big learning curve. And our first couple of patients were really great, but were some different challenges that we hadn't seen yet. Mm-hmm. So it was a good learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We had a lot of cameras around.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that.
Yep.
Gotta get used to that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. That was so much media.
Getting used to that was fun.
We had that whole media day.
Yeah.
Then the grand opening.
That's right.
So
I wasn't here for that. I was at a conference or something. I remember that being a huge thing. Wasn't Dr. Senkai here?
Yep.
For that? That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we started training our patients a couple weeks before the grand opening, before the build-out was completed, which was good. Gave us some trial time before all the cameras were around.
Sure.
But it was definitely a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But different. You don't think of that when you go into PT school.
Right.
You're not thinking that's where you're gonna be.
Sure.
Robots, cameras.
Yeah.
We learned our best angles.
Yeah.
And our worst angles.
Yeah. Well, because you have those three cameras on you all the time, mm-hmm. for the screens, right? For each of the patients. There's three. One in the front, one on the side. Is that it? Is it two?
It's two, yeah, for each.
Two. That's right. Okay. Yeah, so I think we got a little bit ahead. So tell us more about Japan. Like, what was your time there, even outside of training? Like,
so outside of training, we stayed in a city called Tsukuba, Japan, which is where their main headquarters is. Mm-hmm. It's about an hour north of Tokyo. It was a little less going on there, so we didn't do too much outside of training when we were there. But we were there for one weekend. And so for the weekend, Megan, myself, Bob, and Michael Spiegel was with us. Mm-hmm. We went to Tokyo for a couple days, and it was awesome. It was so amazing.
Jealous.
Yeah. We walked so much. They were laughing at me because I'm just so unaware of how big Tokyo is.
Sure.
I thought we walked like half of Tokyo in one day. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no.
Yeah.
We walked like a tenth of Tokyo,
like New York
at that.
Or something. Yeah.
Well, I had been to Japan once before, 10 years ago now, which is crazy. But so I had, and that was before smartphones. So I had tour books and all sorts of stuff. So
right.
I spent most of my time in Tokyo the last time. So when we were getting ready to go out for walking around and seeing sights in the morning, Jess is like, I feel like I've seen. We saw a lot yesterday. I mean, we walked like 13 miles, and I was like, Here, I'll show you a map. Like, this is where we were. So it's, I forget how much bigger than New York it is, but it's massive.
So it's bigger than New York?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was just in New York in October, and I was blown away with how big it was.
Yeah. It's such a cool city, though. And everyone is super friendly. It's very clean.
So clean.
Mm. Yeah, everything there is clean.
So not like New York.
No.
No, I think Japan is a really... I think it's a fascinating place. They've got a lot of history, a lot of culture, and it's very safe and clean and friendly, like Jess said. There's just something interesting and different everywhere you look. Mm-hmm. So, and everything's sold in a vending machine as well. So that's always
the
fun
food there is probably really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, Michael Spiegel has some stories about food.
Yeah, some great food and some interesting food.
Yeah,
because I know they do a lot of raw stuff, and I cannot do that. That freaks me out.
I'm a texture person, so there was a lot of things.
Yeah, if it goes in gummy, I'm not.
Same.
Not
gonna eat it. Same thing.
I need fire to hit that thing.
We did have the best sushi, though, of course. So one of my favorite times in Tokyo or places we went to their fish market. And so it's like outside, they've got down the alleys, like everyone's out with their fresh fish and their fresh catch. And there was a sushi restaurant right in their fish market there. Mm-hmm. And it was just... It was the best. It was awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. We, some of the people from Cyberdyne that worked with us there and then still work with us remotely now, they took us around and, speaking of food, they were afraid, because we didn't speak the language. And in Tokyo, there's a lot of people who speak English, but in Tsukuba, it's outside about an hour and a half and there's not as many people who speak English. And so, getting dinner every night was interesting. There were a lot of funny moments. There was a lot of laughing outside of training, for sure.
You guys didn't have a translator with you?
We did for portions, but not after hours or anything like that. But
try using the Google Translate app?
Yes, all the time.
I was going to say, so does it work well? I've never actually used it.
It works pretty well.
Okay.
Because they've got characters, too. So.
Oh, that's right.
A couple of the people who work with Cyberdyne, when we were telling them some stories about going out and being dismissed from restaurants.
Because we just couldn't get past the hostess yet because we didn't know how to say anything.
You're like, three? And they're like,
we just kept bowing and they were bowing, but
a lot of pointing.
That was
there's,
it.
There's a lot of making X's with your hands or your arms. Actually, not us, but them. We're like, what did we do?
Sure.
So they were very concerned and they're like, are you eating? Did you eat enough? Did you get food? So they actually like took us out to dinner and made sure we were fed.
Yeah.
Because they were very concerned we weren't able to get enough food. So it was very sweet. They looked out for us as well. And
that's good.
Gave us some different experiences.
That's good. I definitely, Michelle's a big traveler. You're about to go to Iceland.
Yeah, I'm about to go to Iceland next week.
Is Japan on your list?
Japan is on my list.
Yeah. So I was actually booked a trip to Iceland with a couple friends and then got hired for Cyberdyne and had to go to Japan the same week.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's still on my list. Iceland's still on my list. Yes. I was very happy to go to Japan. Yeah. But I
still
want to
go.
Wow. Okay. So let's get into more of the, after Cyberdyne has started and everything, you guys are multiple patients in now each, right? Like, do you know? Off the top of your head?
Ooh.
Total?
Something like
Or each?
Total.
Okay. Because you guys work with, you guys don't really swap patients, right? You work with that patient throughout their 60 sessions?
Initially, we worked with our own patients separately. However, maybe over the last 6 months or so, we've been swapping out a little bit.
Because now you've got the tenure of it, and you know you've kind of got it down where you can do that a lot easier. Sure,
we have learned a lot over the last couple of years.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah. So what's it been like? I mean, as far as working with a regular patient, you know, going through PT, and are you still predominantly spinal cord injury with Cyberdyne? So what's it like, you know, as a physical therapist?
So we get to work with our patients very closely with Cyberdyne. Mm-hmm. We are seeing them 5 days a week and for an hour and a half, 5 days a week, we get
some
to know
them.
Our Some of it, most of them.
And is that more, that's more than you would see a regular patient?
So in outpatient therapy, we would see somebody for an hour and maybe twice a week is probably on average. Mm-hmm. So to see someone every day for 3 months, you really get to know somebody. And that, that's really cool. We've built some really good relationships with people. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of people come internationally. So it's been a lot of fun to learn a little bit more about their cultures. And mm-hmm.
We've had like Argentina, Austria, isn't Susan? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I'm trying to think of
Bolivia.
Bolivia.
Ireland.
And they came here specifically for CyberDyne.
For CyberDyne.
Yeah. But we've had up to, I think Amy said, 9 countries and 16 states. So that's most great. Of our patients haven't been local and not just necessarily international, but from the country too. They've come, you know, from California, from Kentucky, from all over. So
yeah. And I did a little video on some of those international patients. And just to add a little Brooksiness in here, that a lot of them found just how great our community is. Like, they found NRC and Adaptive Sports and everything like that after they came for CyberDyne. They thought they were just coming for CyberDyne, but they really found community amongst all the other patients. And I've always thought that was a really, really cool thing. Just kind of shows all the things that we offer, you know. We don't offer just one thing. We kind of offer the whole shebang. Okay, so you guys have been working with. So now, right now we're in December of 2019. So you're almost 2 years in. So just like overall the experience of using this extremely high end technology. What's it been? What sticks out in your head the most?
Yeah, I think at first we were all, me, Jess, and Bob were for the first few patients. Especially the first few weeks of having it on anyone, we were like, oh, this is not just physically draining. Like, mentally we were exhausted because there's a lot of problem solving that goes on. And when you're first learning it, patients and therapists, you're coaching your patients, but you're also mentally coaching yourself and trying to be like, okay, what do I need to adjust to make this better and more successful? So I think that has absolutely gotten much less mentally fatiguing. But everyone is a different challenge. 'Cause someone who presents one way, you think, I mean, at least for me, I think sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I know what this is going to look like. And then I'm like, nope, that's not what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. So, which I think is true of a lot of patients in PT in general. The robot just kind of amplifies it sometimes. So
I think something that stands out for me is the patient results too. We're seeing some really, really great results and improvements in a lot of our patients. And we've kind of figured out, you know, which patients really, really benefit the most from this device. And even those that don't benefit as much still show some sort of changes that they didn't see in traditional therapy before they used the device. So I think that's been a big thing over the last couple of years, is figuring out how much more we're getting out of using this device versus the traditional therapy approach, which has been really exciting for us.
Sure.
Yeah, it's definitely been a really unique thing to see, and, you know, everyone's results are different, but it seems like everyone has gotten some really good benefit, and the meaningfulness of that to them, especially people who have been doing traditional therapy for, you know, maybe we've had patients who've had injuries that are 40 years old. Their injury is 40 years old. They're in their 60s at this point, or somewhere around there, and, you know, they're even still seeing benefit from it. So that meaningfulness to them is really great to see, and something that, you know, stands out, I think, is just that variability and the uniqueness of it, to be able to kind of put it with them and what they're looking for, has been really neat to see. So,
and in case we forget to mention it in the intro, or if we do a bad job of mentioning it in the intro, just give us like a quick overview of what HAL is doing, what the technology is doing for the patient whenever they get hooked up, and what makes it different than something like Indigo, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, Indigo kind of runs on its own through an app, and you're telling it what to do, whereas CyberDyne, the patient is really kind of telling it, like your body is telling it to move.
Yeah. So with Indigo, you have to be able to shift your weight over a limb in order for it to then move. it is more passive. So CyberKnine is very active. I think that's the big difference, is it's more of an active device. So the patient is driving the machine. And so the electrodes that are placed on the muscles of their legs, that those electrodes detect that muscle activity that's being sent down from the brain, and that's what drives the robot. So then we're using different settings to create a better movement pattern, but it's all driven on the patient's own intent, their own volitional movement, which makes it very much different than the other exoskeletons that are out there right now.
And that's the crazy part of it is whenever I first started seeing it, and I see Bob not wearing it, and then having the, are they electrodes? Are they what they called?
Yes.
The electrodes attached to him, and he's moving the robot. And that's weird. That's super weird if you've never seen anything like that before. It looks like some sort of a weird magic trick or something like that. But that, I think that's what, and that was all part of kind of the marketing that it was done for and everything. And he was going all over the place telling everyone about it. But that's what freaked me out about it. So then what that's doing is the goal to, it's starting to help the brain and muscle reconnect from that injury.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to kind of recreate those pathways and improve that motor control and that motor pattern. It's a lot of biofeedback. So they go to move and then they see the robot move with what they intended to do is great biofeedback for the system. And then all of our app settings that we have up there, they're able to see what their muscle activity is doing in real time. They're able to see their weight shift. They're able to see their posture with our cameras. So all of that biofeedback kind of plays in to improve that neuroplasticity.
Right.
I know that I think we did a Connect tour for like student interns at one point, and with the CyberKnine and the HAL, and we put the, I don't know, they're called electrodes. We put the electrodes, I think, on my arm or my leg, and they were like, think about moving your leg. And I was like, that's weird. So I'm like doing it, I'm like, that's so weird and creepy.
You don't actually move your body. Because like a patient in that they wouldn't actually be able to move their leg, but they just think about it and then the HAL moves their leg.
It's a really cool experience. Super weird, but cool.
So on that, like, what do you think in the future? Like, I don't know if you know anything about like what CyberKnine's currently working on or thinking about. Now I'm thinking arms and everything else. Like, I would assume they're working on stuff like that, but they just, it seems really setting us up for a crazy future.
We got to, when we were in Japan, we got to see Professor Sankai's lab as well. He's a big research lab, and he's
the owner of CyberKnine.
He's the creator of the robot. And he's researching all sorts of things, everything from stem cells to a device to help with dysphagia, so swallowing, to, you know, additional HAL type devices that are maybe for just a single joint or just for protection from lower back injuries and things like that, that they're actually already using in Japan in some places for industrial workers to help with lifting and things like that. So and those are just the things that, you know, we know of. So they, you know, they definitely have an amazing lab and perspective on things, and really unique and exciting. Like, he, every time I hear him talk, I'm just like, oh, that's so cool. Like, who thinks of that? Like, he's so, it's a really awesome company to get to kind of get to know, and they've been really great and welcoming. So I think it's definitely got a lot of potential. We just got to get other things through the FDA.
It makes me think of a future, like the HAL right now is, it's kind of, you know, it's cumbersome to, like, without you guys helping them get in, it's not something you can just jump in yourself. But it just makes me think of a future, however many years down the road it would be, where someone has a spinal cord injury and then they wear something on the outside of their body, and then they just live their life with that on. You know what I mean? It's like an assistive device that now they just live with that. And they can live their life normally, you know? Maybe they can move parallel and stuff. That's not very easy with HAL right now, because I did wear it once, if you guys remember that.
Photo shoot.
Yeah, we were doing a photo shoot, and I wore it. You didn't hook me up to the electrodes or anything like that. It was just for a photo. But it just makes me wonder, you know, the future that we could have. I mean, look at the stuff we have now.
Yeah. Didn't they, they have like a space of land that they are planning eventually to create like a
Cybernic city. So science city, actually, I think is what he called it. So Yeah, and I was recently able to go to the Mayo Neuroconvergence Conference very briefly in Puerto Rico, where Dr. Sankai was also presenting, bringing one of our former patients there. And he was talking about that. And one of his aims for, there's a panel, and it's where do you see yourself 10 years down the line? And he was talking about how having kind of like that idea of the city where there's things that are integrated into apartments that are kind of like medical devices that are monitoring people with, you know, either whether it's, you know, they have heart issues or diabetes, blood sugar, or other other things where they need medical attention. Instead of having to go to the doctor,
right,
the medical staff can just be monitoring them based off of, he was talking about having just clothing, mm-hmm. like things integrated into people's regular clothing that would then send alerts to, to medical staff. And so decreasing that gap between someone's ability to access healthcare, and trying to make it more a part of their life without them having to think so much about it.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Wow.
Yeah. That's so cool.
It is.
I know. It's when weird. He started talking about clothing, I was like,
it's weird to think about.
I'm like, if anyone could do it, he probably can.
The more I hear about him, the more I think of he's like the Elon Musk for like health and helping like healthcare, medical stuff. Because Elon Musk's all about rockets and cars and that kind of stuff. But now he seems to be, you know, the other billionaire that's all about helping people's lives.
He told me one night at dinner when the first visit that they did here for our grand opening, he goes, if you ever think of something that you want to help somebody move, you tell me and I will make it for you. I go,
who says that?
I know. He's like, anything to help people. Ah. So that's part of why he, they don't sell their devices, because he wants to make sure that his technology stays in a field where it's purely meant to help people. Sure. And isn't used for other things that might not be so savory. So he just wants to help people. He's so cute.
Because you could also get hurt. You could get hurt wearing HAL if you weren't in the right environment. Like, you can't just move freely as you think, like, you know, especially side to side and stuff like that. So I could see why they want to make sure it's being used in a environment that's controlled. And
yeah, and you know, they don't want it to be used for things like military purposes or anything too. Oh, geez.
I didn't even think about that.
No, that's his biggest. That's his biggest thing. Yeah. Is and he's very open about that. So yeah. Is wanting to make sure that it's focused on helping people.
And the name is based on Terminator, right? Like he's a movie fan. So because I get these comments on Facebook and stuff on our Brooks social, and they would. You know, a lot of the comments were making fun of that. I think they thought that it was a funny coincidence that they noticed, but it's actually on purpose.
I don't know that we ever got a specific, like, exact response confirming that, but, I mean, he's a very big, it is, I mean, he's, HAL is also Odyssey, Space Odyssey.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But he's kind of, like, made it work for what he's doing. Right. So he is very much... We had iRobot, the laws of robot, in our training at first.
At their studio, they have like little figurines of some of the American movie characters. Oh, and at the studio where we trained, they had those big life-size
Gundam robots,
like, Terminator robots.
Wow.
So I'm leaning towards yes. It was purposeful.
It was definitely not unintentional. Sure. That's
He won't go full Skynet.
No, they have a good sense of humor, so that's... So I think that's definitely played a part in it.
Sure. So what do you guys see in the future of the Brooks Cybernetic Treatment Center and if there's anything you can share, but or just, you know, Cyberdyne, HAL, and all that in the future? How is Brooks going to be a part of that?
Well, we're trying to expand. So over the last 2 years, we have only been treating patients in the NRC. Mm-hmm. However, in 2020, we're looking to... no confirmed sites yet. However, we're looking to get the device into other Brooks sites and then also other sites outside of the Brooks system.
Okay. So that would mean you'd have to train other therapists in there.
So we're going to be the main training center.
Uh-huh.
So me and Megan can be training everybody.
For the U.S. We're supposed to be the national training site. So
you're essentially robbing people of a Japan trip, pretty much. Because they only get to come to you. Maybe you can have some sushi for them or something.
That's just how much we've impressed them. That's how much they Cyberdyne likes working with Brooks, is they actually trust us to do that. Right. So they'll be here and back and forth. That's kind of the direction that Jessica and I are moving. And we also have a research study going on, and have had for about a year, mm-hmm. for spinal cord injury. So
yeah, we didn't talk about that too much. So HAL has been used for research here at Brooks too, in our research department. What's been going on with that?
We have had a total of 3 participants fully complete the protocol. It is a safety and efficacy study for U.S. spinal cord injury patients. Mm-hmm. So since it just got FDA clearance, we'd gotten the approval from the IRB, I think, right before we got FDA clearance. Mm-hmm. So then they had to go back and revise it, and then we had to get IRB approval again. And that's a 60-session protocol. It's for patients with chronic spinal cord injury, so someone with a spinal cord injury for at least a year or more. And we've seen some good results with that. We've also done some other stuff with the research center. With our first 2 patients, we kind of use them as somewhat case studies to kind of help drive what that protocol looks like and what kind of things we need to plan for, since we're still kind of in the learning stages of things. It's been great working with that, and it's still going on. The goal is 24 patients over a 3-year period. Mm-hmm. So they're still currently enrolling. Mm-hmm. It's just research, since it's the first U.S. study. It has to be on safety and efficacy. Mm-hmm. And then we can kind of expand from there.
Another thing we're excited about for 2020 is we're now going to be accepting insurance coverage for use of the robot. So we have been on a private pay basis for the last 2 years. So now we're going to be treating it like traditional therapy, but right. using Cyberdyne HAL as a modality, as you would, for example, Indigo or something of right. that. So we're excited about that, because I think it's going to expand the access a little bit for our patients.
Yeah, sure.
And so that's really exciting for 2020.
Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. I'm excited for the future of the program and expanding beyond, you know, just spinal cord and onto many other things, and getting it into other clinics. And thank you guys for coming. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.